The sermon was preached by Pastor Enoch Adeboye, General Overseer of the Redeemed Christian Church of God. He began by congratulating the president, his wife, Dame Patience Jonathan, and the parents of the groom for the milestone in their lives, admonishing them to try as much as possible not to interfere in the affairs of the couple other than give suggestions where absolutely necessary. Pastor Enoch Adeboye charged the husband to refrain from criticizing his wife, but correct her lovingly to keep the atmosphere of love in perpetuity in their lives.
Let's pray. Eternal Rock of Ages, we just want to bless your holy name. Thank you for this day that you, the Lord, had made. Thank you for joining together faith and God's will. Thank you, Lord God Almighty, because we know nothing happens except light. Please accept our thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Eternal Rock of Ages, we are committing this young couple into your hands. We ask that you will bless their union, that you will keep sickness and death far away from them. Amen. We pray, Lord God Almighty, that the world will not separate them, that the devil will not separate them. Amen. We pray that you give them wonderful children. Amen. You give them boys and girls. Amen. We pray that each time they kneel down together to ask anything of you, you answer them by fire. Amen. We pray that in all areas of their lives, it will be well with them. Amen. Father, we pray that you bless the two families that have been joined together today, that Lord, even as one is receiving a daughter and one is receiving a son, their joy of today will last forever. Amen. We pray that all those who are here today rejoicing with them, their own joy too, will last forever. Amen. And we pray that we grant journey mercies to all who have come, that even as they have come safely, they will return safely. Amen. At the end of everything, Father, let your name be glorified. Amen. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, let someone shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
If you are expecting something of joy like this, let me hear you shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
God bless you. Please, you may be seated. I want to start by congratulating the two families that have become one today because of this union. And again, I pray one more time that your joy will last forever in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I also want to salute all my fathers in the Lord, particularly those sitting at the altar here. Thank you for the courage for allowing a pastor to preach on an occasion like this. I believe that you will continue to pray for me even as I share the word of God. I want to congratulate the husband and the wife. At this time, I should be looking at you, but this thing is rotating. So whenever I can see you, you will know I'm talking to you. I know that you don't have time for a long sermon today. I know if you have your way, you will say to all of us, thank you, you've done well, you can go now, and let the two of us alone. And so I promise you I'll be brief. My sermon will be in five small parts. A word for you, the husband. A word for the wife. A word for the two families. And a word for those of you who are yet to marry. And finally, a word for all of us. I promise you I'll still be brief, even though it will be in five parts. My text will be taken from Ephesians chapter 5. I will read from verse 22 to 25. Ephesians 5, from verse 22 to 25. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Husband, congratulations, because now you are the head of the new family. And a few moments ago, if you wanted to see Faith, you need the permission of the parents. But from now on, if they want to see their daughter, they need your permission. You are in charge now, man. You've got it made. Congratulations. You are the head. Being the head means that you are extremely important. How important you are is illustrated by the fact that you can cut off a man's two hands and he will still live. You can cut off his legs, he will live. You can take out his heart and give him that of a pig, he will live. But if you cut off a man's head, that's the end of the story. You're so important that when they want to give you a passport, the only picture they want to see is that of the head. Because they know you can change any other thing, you can't change your head. So you are very, very important. And because you are the head, just taking a look at the head will tell you that the success or failure of this marriage rests solely on you. Anytime a marriage fails, it is the husband who has failed. Because the head contains the eyes. And the Bible says the eyes are the light of the body. Because you have the eyes attached to the head, you are the one to decide the direction you want this marriage to go. Attached to the head are the ears. And you can see that God gave you two ears and one mouth. That means you are to listen to the advice of your wife. Listen twice before you speak once. James chapter 1 verse 19, James 1 19 says you are to be swift to hear and slow to speak. Listen to the advice of your wife, because your wife can tell you when there is a danger coming faster than you can realize. Your wife can detect a dangerous woman from 10 kilometers away. And then you better listen to me, because you are embarking on a journey now that you have never traveled before. And I've been traveling on this journey now for 47 years. And I'm seeing honeymoon. So I have one or two things I can tell you which I believe will help you. The most important part of the head, it's not even the brain, not the eyes, not the ear, but the tongue. Proverbs chapter 18 verse 21, Proverbs 18 verse 21 says, death and life is in the power of the tongue. If your marriage succeeds, it's because of how you use your tongue. If it fails, it is because of how you use your tongue. Now I'll give you one or two illustrations to help you. Like I said, today is not a day for long sermon. If you want more, you come and see me later. At that time, you will pay. When your wife begins to cook for you, don't expect her cooking to be like that of your mom from the number one. Your mom had years of experience. Your mom didn't become a good cook overnight. She learned along the way. So when you taste the meal and there is too much pepper there, don't blame your wife. Blame the elders. Tell her, oh, the elders have a proverb. They said that the soul that doesn't eat pepper is a useless soul. But they didn't explain whether what they meant is attaché or plenty of meat. Your wife will get the message. Next time, there won't be too much pepper. If she puts too much salt, don't blame her. Just go about it and say, darling, did you buy a new bag of salt today? And she said, no, why are you asking? You said, it looks as if the salt of today is more powerful than that of yesterday. You will laugh over it, and tomorrow she'll be careful with salt. And if at any occasion Thank you. I believe you are also learning for your own marriage. If at any occasion you find that the meat is so tough you can't cut it with a knife because she didn't boil it long enough, don't blame her. Just look at her and say, the world has changed. There was a time when, before the white man came, the man would just boil beef for 1 hour and the beef would be soft. But since the white man began to give injection to cows, you now have to boil for 3 hours before it is cooked. Your wife will understand. Next time, the meat will be soft. Just to give you a hint. And I pray the Almighty God will help you along the way. Under no circumstance must you criticize your wife. Correct her, but do it lovingly. Wife, just a word for you. The passage we read said that the wife should submit to her husband. You need to understand that while your husband is the head, you are the body. And you need to know that if the body does not obey the head, there is trouble. If the head tells the hand to go in one direction and the hand is going another direction, something is wrong. Whenever you see a man who begins to put off his clothes in public, then you know that something is seriously wrong with the fellow. Why submit to your husband? I know that there are those who will teach you that you all have equal rights. I know my rights, you know your right. That may be true academically. But if you want peace in your home, you want joy, like I have in my home, submit to your husband. Let him have the last say. I want you to know that whenever you want something from him, if you go about it the right way, he will give you more than you are asking for. And I will give you one or two illustrations because of time. If, for example, he seems to have forgotten that by now you should change your heart, don't go to him and say, what kind of husband are you? Don't you know that I need a new heart for Christmas? No. Go to him very early in the morning and decide to lead the morning prayer. And say, Lord, I want to bless your holy name for a wonderful husband. I want to thank you for a husband that loves his wife. A husband that takes care of his wife from head to toes. When you put the emphasis on the head, he knows that something must be done about the head. If it is a new pair of shoes you want, then you change the prayer. Oh, thank God for a wonderful husband who takes care of his wife from head to toes. So he will know. Just learn to approach your husband in humility. Learn to submit to him. And because I'm a man, I think I need to put a word in for the husband here too. Because occasionally your husband may pray the head to toe prayer and somehow cash is not at hand. The moment you hear the prayer, look for the needs and meet the needs. But if for any reason whatsoever the money is just not there, there's a way to keep her quiet for a while. As soon as she finished the head-to-toe prayer, you pick up the prayer again and say, God, I want to thank you for a wonderful wife. A wife who loves things spiritual and not things material. I said, I better leave that side. A word for the parents, both sides, the in-laws. I'm sure you heard when it was read that those whom God has joined together, no man should put them asunder. And I want to particularly appeal to the mother-in-laws to beware of interfering with the lives of this young couple. I know that as time goes on, you are likely to look at them and might be concerned over one thing or the other. If, for example, you look at your daughter and she seems to be a little lean, don't go there and begin to query the boy, are you starving my daughter to death? No, just go there and say, oh, good morning, God bless you. Are you fasting again? If you want to help them, go ahead and help them, but do it cheerfully, because the Bible says God loves a cheerful giver. If you look at them at the time you think that by now your grandchild should have come and it hasn't come yet, don't begin to ask them, what are you waiting for? No, go there and say, oh, do you know I was coming from my friend's house because she just had a party for her grandchild. When you put it like that, they will get the message. If something's already on the way, they will tell you, don't worry, your day will soon come. If they don't answer you, wait a little and then go back again and said, have you heard of a man called Pastor Adeboye? They say, well, yes, I'm told that he has a great anointing for making the barren fruitful. They will get the message and they tell you, mommy, we are not barren, only we are waiting. We want to delay a little. Approach them with wisdom, and the Almighty God will bless you in Jesus' name. Now, just a word for those of you who are yet to marry. I know we are living in the electronics age, when many people now want to marry on the Facebook. I want you to know that if you marry in the modern way, you are likely to divorce the modern way. If we want to marry, do it the traditional way. Let the two families be involved. Let God be there. Because if you get yourself unequally yoked together, if you marry a witch or marry a wizard because you decide to go modern, you will live with circumstances. I pray that all of you who are yet to marry, God will give you the right partner in Jesus' name. And finally, I have a word for every one of us who are here rejoicing today. Thank God for this wedding. How beautiful, how glorious. But the Bible teaches that there are two weddings coming that will be the mother of all weddings. In Revelation chapter 19, from verse 6 to 9, Revelation 19, verse 6 to 9, the Bible tells us that there's a wedding coming that is called the wedding of the Lamb. And the Lamb here is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. It will be the greatest wedding that will join heaven and earth together. It will be a wedding that will be absolutely wonderful. I can tell you that the best man on that day is going to be John the Baptist. I can tell you the best lady that day is going to be Ruth. But I don't have time to go into all the details. One thing I know is that anyone who is going to be the part of the bride will be someone who has surrendered his life to Jesus Christ. Someone who is born again, someone whose blood has been washed away by the Lamb of God. If you have done that, then you can look forward to that glorious wedding, which will take place in heaven, and God the Father himself will be the officiating minister. That day, the wedding is going to be so beautiful that the bride will be crying for joy. And my Bible teaches me that the Almighty God will take his handkerchief and wipe away all tears from their eyes. I'm looking forward to seeing you on that day because I'll be part of the bride. But while that wedding is taking place in heaven, another wedding will be taking place here on earth. And the Bible calls it the wedding of the Antichrist. The Antichrist is the son of the devil. And whatever God is doing, the devil would like to duplicate. Now, the wedding that will take place here on earth will be for those who refuse to accept the Lord Jesus Christ in their own lifetime. And they be married to the son of the devil. And the Bible has a very graphic detail of how that wedding will go. He says the men of that day will be the tongue of the bride. He said, mighty men will be biting their tongue in agony. Those who partake in that second wedding, they will call for death and death will run away from them. And the choice is yours today. You have to choose which wedding you want to attend. The wedding of the Lamb or the wedding of the Antichrist's son. If you will bow your head now and take a decision for Jesus Christ, then in the wedding that is the greatest of all, the wedding of the Lamb, you will qualify to be there. But if you reject his offer, you will take part in the other wedding, which I pray would not happen. Will you please bow your head, therefore? And I give you a minute to think about what you have just heard and decide which wedding you want to attend. If you make up your mind that you would rather attend the wedding of the Lamb, you want to be there when the Almighty God is joining the church to his beloved Son Jesus Christ, all you have to do will be to ask the Lord Jesus Christ to save your soul today, that his blood may wash away your sin, and then you become part of the body of Christ, because he, the head of the church, will be the husband on that day. And so, if anyone will say, "Pastor, please pray for me. I want to surrender my life to Jesus Christ. I want his blood to wash away my sin. I want to become part of the body of Christ." If you lift your hand, now that all heads are bowed and all eyes are closed, I will pray for you in a moment, and I trust my Lord that he will save your soul. Please, all over the place, those of you who say, "Pastor, please pray for me. I want to surrender my life to Jesus. I want to be there at the wedding of the Lamb." Will you please raise your hand very quickly? I'll give you 10 seconds to do so, and then I will pray, and the Lord will save your soul. God bless you. God bless you. All over the place, raise your hand if you want to surrender your life to me. Yes, God bless you. God bless you. I can see those hands. And those of you who are listening by television and listening by radio, even in your living room, you can take that decision now. And lift your hands to the Almighty God. He sees you where you are, and he will save your soul as I pray. Just 10 seconds more, and I will pray. Thank you, Father. Eternal Rock of Ages, I just want to thank you for your word. I want to give you all glory and honor, particularly for those who are lifting up their hands right here in the church and all over this nation where they are watching by television or listening by radio. You promise that whosoever will come unto you, you will nowise cast out. These people, by the lifting of their hands, have signified that they are surrendering their life to you. Father, please receive them. Save their souls. Let your blood wipe away their sins. Write their names in the book of life, O Lord. And from this day onward, please add them to the body of Christ. And I pray that on that wonderful day, at the wedding of the Lamb, none of them will be found wanting. I, Father, commit all those who are here again once more into your hands because of this day of joy. I pray that those who are already part of the body of Christ, you will keep us strong and faithful to the end, so that at the wedding none of us will be found missing. Amen. Thank you, Almighty God. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed.
Amen.
Amen. Let someone shout another hallelujah. Amen.